This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This is News Radio 1070 WINA. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. My name is Coy Barefoot. Perhaps no other book in recent memory has attracted so much press coverage and sparked so much debate and conversation than The Age of Turbulence, the memoir of Alan Greenspan, former chairman of the Federal Reserve for nearly 20 years. The editor on that project was longtime New York editor Scott Moyers, who joins us on the long line, and I'm thrilled to say joins us again on the program. And Scott, before we get into the conversation about Alan Greenspan's new book, which everybody's talking about, we just want to, you've had a recent change in your career. You're no longer an editor. Now you are the director of the New York office of the Wiley Agency, which means what exactly?
Well, basically it means I'm a literary agent, and I've joined a company founded by a man named Andrew Wiley, who has built up over about 30 years now one of the strongest and most prestigious literary agencies in the world, looking after people who, you know, such as Philip Roth and Salman Rushdie and Martin Amis and all sorts of Al Gore and all sorts of people you've heard of. It's a very deep and distinguished list, and I've worked with him very closely over the years, and I loved what I was doing at Penguin, but when he gave me this opportunity, I felt I couldn't refuse it. So I've been there for about 3 weeks, but I was able this summer to put the Alan Greenspan book to bed editorially, as it were, and I left that book behind all the way done, as they say. And I was able to partake in some of the events this past week surrounding its publication. And I saw him on Tuesday night at the 92nd Street Y, a big lecture venue in New York City, where he gave he was in conversation with his wife, Andrea Mitchell, before a packed house. It was quite a good night.
We're talking with Scott Moyers from his home in New York. And, of course, first, congratulations on the new gig. That is fantastic. So the Greenspan book, The Age of Turbulence, was your last book, official book, that you edited in full. Is that right?
Well, I actually edited a certain number of books before I left that haven't come out yet. But that was kind of, it felt like my swan song. As I think you know, Coy, my father and my stepmother many years worked at the Federal Reserve Board, and I grew up revering the chairman of the Fed. And Alan Greenspan gave my stepmother her 25th anniversary certificate at the Fed. And I first wrote to him to ask him if he'd consider writing a book when he was done at the Fed more than 10 years ago, and I got a note back, and so landing this book and working with him, it really did feel like a beautiful way to go out, that sort of thing. It felt like the kind of culmination for me of my career on that side of things as an editor.
Right, right. Well, it certainly has made, to say that it has made a splash is would be an understatement. Headlines all over the world. Let's talk about the subject matter of Greenspan's book and also the process. But first, the subject matter. He has some pretty incredible newsmaking things to say about the war in Iraq, the Bush administration, the economy. And what are some of these things that as you were working on the book, really jumped out at you as when you're working on it thinking, oh, my goodness, boy, this is really going to make some headlines?
Well, I have to say, you know, it's funny. I knew, working on the book, that the frank way he expresses his grave disappointment with the Bush administration, with this Bush administration, was going to really surprise people. Because there's been actually some criticism now that, oh, now he tells us. And I think that criticism is really uninformed, because I think if you really understand the role of the chairman of the Fed, you understand that person cannot use that position as a bully pulpit to make political attacks on the president. I mean, you just can't. You can't. And I think he was very clear in his way about his feelings for deficits and his feelings for the guns and butter pork barrel spending of the, which, I mean, I don't want to let the Republicans off the hook, but it tends to happen when, I mean, it happened under LBJ in the Democratic Congress in the late 60s. So it tends to happen when the president and the Congress, you know, are of the same party, and so nobody can defend the cookie jar, really. But I knew his criticism was going to be, you know, received, was going to make a lot of news just because he's not a partisan of the other side, quite the opposite. He's been a Republican all his life. He's worked for every Republican president since Nixon, and here's a book in which he says that, in fact, the great fiscal conservative and the smartest president I've ever worked with is Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton emerges as his hero in this book, and I knew that was going to get people talking, and sure enough, it has. I think almost unprecedented, the day of publication, the Bush administration gave a statement basically defending itself, and then a couple days later, Dick Cheney wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, almost like a direct letter to Alan Greenspan, his old friend, kind of calling his perspective into question. So the direct response from both the president and the vice president to this criticism, I don't know any precedent for it personally.
We're talking with Scott Moyers, the editor of The Age of Turbulence by Alan Greenspan, which was only recently released and has attracted quite a bit of attention and discussion. The disappointment, Scott, that Mr. Greenspan feels towards his fellow Republicans currently in charge in Washington is incredibly palpable in this book.
Mm. It is. Well, I think it comes, too, from the fact that he had this great hope when he entered this, when this administration entered, that it would be a kind of a reprise of a very happy time in his life, a time when he was working for Gerald Ford in the Ford administration. Here he saw many of the same people coming back, including, of course, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. And what he found was that quite the opposite. In the Ford administration, I mean, if you read the book, he holds Ford up as just a wonderful man, very ego, very under control, someone who was didn't assume he had all the answers and wasn't rigid and doctrinaire and had a process for arriving at decisions that was very rational, in which different points of view were ventilated and people had real conversations. People were let in from all sides to really debate issues, and they felt the process felt above politics. And in the, as he says in the book, quite pointedly, in the Bush administration, more than really any administration he experienced, everything was subsumed to politics, and it felt as if the decisions had already been made. And one thing he says that's very interesting is he says that, you know, no president's kind of policy menu really from the campaign survives the first year in office. In your campaign, things are, you know, your campaign promises are cooked up in the fire of the moment. There's always a political context to them. They're not as deeply thought out. You don't always know what the reality is until you actually get in office. So he said, no president's promises on how they're going to deal with the economy survive unchanged from the campaign, from his experience, from his profound experience. But this president did. He said, to his amazement, you know, this president said, well, and vice president said, well, kept sticking to this concept of, well, we promised it in the campaign, which to him was amazing because no president is so rigid about that in his was so rigid about that in his past experience. And I found that fascinating, and that was really new to me, this Alan Greenspan's perspective on how one's thinking has to evolve once you get into office, and how the fact that their thinking didn't evolve locked them in to these promises that, to Alan Greenspan's mind, were pretty ruinous in terms of facing long-term fiscal responsibilities that, in his view, it's the president's job to face.
Chairman of the Federal Reserve for nearly 20 years, Alan Greenspan's new book is The Age of Turbulence. And we're talking with Scott Moyers, the director of the New York office of the Wiley Agency, who was the editor on Greenspan's book. Scott Greenspan also says in the book that, you know, this war in Iraq is largely about oil, he says. And he says, you know, here's another thing that disappoints me, that we as American citizens can't acknowledge that fact.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he's quite, in a way, sympathetic in this case to the situation that that Bush and Cheney find themselves in. His point is simply that however heinous Saddam Hussein was, you know, if this were, I mean, Robert Mugabe's still in power, there are other heinous dictators still in power, but Iraq happens to be a place of vital strategic interest to the U.S., and we wouldn't, if Iraq didn't have this oil capacity, and if it didn't threaten neighbors that had that oil capacity, Greenspan came to feel that the real weapon Hussein had to hang over our heads, what he was building towards, more than the literal weapons of mass destruction, was the blockading of the Straits of Hormuz. And as he explains, if you blockade the Straits of Hormuz, something like a third or something, I mean, I may be a bit off on this, but the spirit is true, it's something like a third of all oil that gets used every day around the world flows out of the Strait of Hormuz. And if Hussein had been successful in doing that, he would have brought the world economy to its knees. And to have one man in that position, like Saddam Hussein, Alan Greenspan felt, well, let's just say he was not at all unsympathetic with the mission of taking Saddam Hussein out. He was very unsympathetic with the way it was handled, and very disappointed by the way it was handled, but he actually is a really, all in all, a supporter of that end, even if at the time and to this day, even if, as so many other people would agree, the means are clearly in retrospect deeply flawed.
We're talking with Scott Moyers. He was the editor for The Age of Turbulence by Alan Greenspan, recently released. And Scott, tell us about the release here, because if I remember correctly, didn't the Wall Street Journal got a book? How did that work? They got a book ahead of anybody else and sort of broke the news ahead of the official release?
Well, one of the great sort of headaches that all publishers feel when they've spent an enormous amount of money and have a great deal on the line for a big book by a great political figure like a Bill Clinton or a Hillary Clinton or an Alan Greenspan, is we call embargoing a book, which means we keep it out of everybody's hands and try to keep anybody from getting a copy of it until the on sale date. Now, the real reason you do that is because you have partners in publishing the book. In this case, 60 Minutes, which had a long interview with him on Sunday night, and Newsweek, which ran a cut from the book that hit the newsstands Monday morning, although it went on the web, it went on the internet. If 60 Minutes finished at 8 o'clock, then by contract they could go on the internet at 8:01. And if, there's definitely news in the book, and if, say, a rival news organization, whether a newspaper or a magazine and these days with the internet, it almost doesn't matter what outlet it is, because once it's out there, it's out there. If a rival news organization gets it early, they're going to run with it. And in the eyes of 60 Minutes and in the eyes of Newsweek, it's very troubling because it undercuts the freshness, the scoop value of what they have. Of course, it can also happen and does happen. There's another argument that getting it out a little early actually drives people to 60 Minutes, gets people talking about it, and that it gets played as news by these news organizations in a way that they wouldn't if they had to follow 60 Minutes and follow. So there are different ways of looking at it, but it's troubling and it's stressful, and you do the best you can to control it, and with the big books, you just ship the books as late as possible. But so what happened was, we basically, bookstores all around the country, you can imagine when you're sending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of books across the supply chain, all to all different sorts of stores around the country, that keeping the seal is very fraught. It's very hard to do. And what tends to happen these days is that if you have a book going on sale on a Monday, kind of the best we seem to be able to do is to keep it out of people's hands on a Friday. It seems, especially the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal have been breaking a lot of these embargoes, and it And it seems that they know bookstores to go to that'll sell them the book kind of under the table or on the QT, look the other way. It's a bit dubious, it's troubling, but there it is. So it seems to be the case. The Wall Street Journal reported that, that this is what they did, that they walked into in some New York area bookstore on a Friday before last, and were able to buy the book. And then they quickly, I don't know how long it took them, but they quickly honed in on what the news was here, and they posted a story on their website Friday night. Now, we had had books in the hands of, for example, the New York Times' reviewer a few days before publication, but they had a confidentiality agreement that they had to sign saying they wouldn't do anything with the book until publication. But the way these confidentiality agreements are worded, if somebody breaks the embargo, if somebody else gets their hands on it and the news gets out, then they're no longer bound by the confidentiality agreement. So that's what happened. Wall Street Journal put it online Friday night, and Saturday morning it was front page above the fold, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and New York Times, that the Greenspan book had this criticism in it of the Bush administration. That was first and foremost what everybody led with.
Scott Moyers, he was the editor of The Age of Turbulence, the new memoir by Alan Greenspan. Scott, I got about a minute or two left, but what was it like, the process working with Alan Greenspan? Did he send you the full manuscript of the book, or did he send you like a chapter at a time? How did it work between you all, the working process?
We did it a chapter at a time, basically. As he said publicly, he wrote the whole book in longhand on legal pads in his bathtub in the morning. Ever since he hurt his back some years ago, and throughout the Fed years, he would take a hot bath every morning and would do some of his best thinking and writing in the bathtub in the morning. And everyone who works closely with him, his secretaries and such, got used to transcribing longhand on these often slightly soggy yellow legal pads. So I didn't have to look at the yellow legal pads. He brought them into his office and got them transcribed. And but no, the process was marvelous. He's such a brilliant man, so energized to tell the truth, to try to really, first of all, you know, figure out what he knew. And I think he used this book really taught him what he knew. He had to unpack all of his assumptions. And it was interesting because by the end of the book, he had to go back and revise some of the things in the beginning of the book because he realized that his some of the things he thought he knew, he'd shifted his position. So it feels like a book in which a man is really trying to go as deeply as he can into his own experiences to unlock what it is he knows and how he thinks about the world. And so in that sense, as a book that really shows you how Alan Greenspan thinks about looking into the future, thinks about solving problems, you know, thinks about world issues, it feels like just a tremendous gift to the world. It was certainly a tremendous gift to me. I mean, I've never worked on a book that taught me so much or that stays with me every day when I think about things. His worldview has informed my own more than I could say, really.
One of the great new books of the new century, The Age of Turbulence, the memoir of former Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan. And Scott Moyers, the director of the New York office of the Wiley Agency, was the editor of Greenspan's book. Scott, it's been a thrill to talk to you again, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
What a great pleasure. Thanks a lot, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.